This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. President Bush weighed in on Indonesia's struggle between democracy and Islamic fundamentalism Wednesday, saying during a three-hour visit that peace and economic growth in Asia depend on Indonesia's success as a democratic state. Mr. Bush's stopover was restricted for security reasons to Bali, and he traveled less than a mile from where Air Force One landed. Bush met with Muslim moderates who were sharply critical of his policies towards the Middle East and Iraq. The commander of U.S. ground forces in Iraq is reporting an increase in attacks on American troops. Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez also says groups linked to Al-Qaeda may be responsible for some recent bombings in Iraq, although no known members of the terrorist network have been caught in the country. Sanchez told reporters in Baghdad on Wednesday that U.S. troops have come under attack as many as 35 times a day in the past 3 weeks, with an average of 20 to 25 attacks each day. He also said he expects the strikes to become more aggressive, radical, and organized as coalition forces continue to search for deposed leader Saddam Hussein. Democrat Wesley Clark said Wednesday he would repeal President Bush's tax cuts for wealthier Americans if he wins next November. The retired Army general said in a speech at the University of New Hampshire's Manchester campus, "When you are in a hole, stop digging. This country is in a deep hole, and I have a plan to get us out." Clark said he would require people earning more than $200,000 a year to pay more taxes than they would under Bush, but would not rescind any tax cuts going to middle-class taxpayers, and the child tax credit would be preserved for parents of any income. The FBI is investigating a letter containing the deadly poison ricin, which was found last week in an airport post office in Greenville, South Carolina. No one was harmed by exposure to the poison, but the airmail office in the cargo area of the airport was closed as a precautionary measure. Officials said they viewed the incident as a case of criminal extortion and terrorism was not suspected. More after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 save the music because music education equals brain power.
Police in Snyder County, Pennsylvania are on the lookout for a cat burglar who is literally stealing cats. They say the cat snatcher took 7 felines from a shelter in Monroe Township early Saturday morning. Authorities are hoping someone will call in with information so the burglar can be treated as per the law. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
I am a popcorn enthusiast. Popcorn, the most provocative of all the snack foods. The silky smooth texture, the rich buttery ecstasy.
Ow! The unpopped kernels!
Don't let toothaches interfere with your life. When you can't get to the dentist, get Maximum Strength Ambisol. It contains the same strong pain relief medicine your dentist uses, so it works faster than you can say,
ah.
Maximum Strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone. Use as directed.
Okay, America, back off. Back off from the table, that is. If you needed a clue that too many of us are packing in too many groceries at each meal, that some of us need to learn to say no to that fourth package of ding-dongs, and that America has developed a national poundage problem of Goliath proportions, here it is. Coffin makers are finding that an alarming number of us no longer can be squeezed into the standard-sized burying box. So they're doing a booming business in double-wides and triple-wides. Today, 20% of our population is not merely chubby, big-boned, or even fat, but officially designated as obese, a more than 50% jump in obesity just since 1991. Having lived large, these folks are also dying large, and this literally is reshaping the funeral industry. The Goliath Casket Company in Indiana, for example, has gone from selling one triple-wide a year to selling 4 or 5 a month. These babies not only have extra space, but also extra bracing and reinforced handles to ensure what is euphemistically called the integrity of a coffin that has to hold 300, 400, 500, or even more pounds. But the coffin is only the start of the industry supersizing. Hearse manufacturers are having to widen their vehicles, including making bigger rear doors. Grave vaults have to be wider, too, which means the front-end scoops on grave digging equipment have to be broadened. Crematoriums are having to provide special training to their staffs for handling larger corpses. And cemeteries themselves are having to reconfigure their plots in order to squeeze in fewer but larger bodies, often doubling the standard width of a burial plot. This is Jim Hightower saying, even the comforting language of undertakers has had to adjust. It would be bad form to say to the bereaved that mom's too fat. Instead, the new line is, mom's not going to look comfortable in that casket.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. Will the American economy survive conservative mismanagement? Some amazing news. Well, interesting news. Actually, a little scary news on the international economic front. And I want to dig into that a little bit today and hopefully give you an understanding of something that I've only come to figure out in the last decade or so, to the extent that I figured it out, which is what all this stuff means. You know, what does it mean when the yen falls? What does it mean if the dollar's strong? What does that mean for us? Does that mean jobs are coming? Does that mean that we should be hoarding our money under our mattress? Does it mean we should be looking out for our banks? Does it mean we should hang on to jobs we don't like out of fear that we can't get, or that we should be, you know, starting businesses or taking new jobs or, you know, going after, you know, new opportunity that may be opening? What does the future hold? What does all that stuff mean? And, of course, we've got some interesting information from Iraq today, a whole collection of stories that I'm sure you're familiar with, and so I won't flog it overly, Don Rumsfeld memo of yesterday. And how the White House is now saying, oh, yes, well, see, that demonstrates how brilliant he is. In which he said, you know, we got a real problem here in Iraq, and I don't know if we've made any progress in 2 years, and it's really quite interesting to see the White House spin machine kick in, because they are so good at it. They are just so remarkably good at it. The anti-war protest is happening this weekend in Washington, D.C. Oh, by the way, just to bring you up to date, it snowed this morning here in Vermont. I woke up, looked out, and there was snow on the ground. It's pretty much all gone now, although there's still snow coming out of the sky. As I look out the window right now, I see snowflakes drifting by. They're not the big fluffy kind, but it's still snowing. But none of it's sticking. That will come, though, but the seasons are changing, and it's wonderful living in a place where the seasons actually change. We actually have four seasons here. On Saturday, speaking of snow, it's probably not going to snow down there. We're going to talk about John Snow in a minute, too. On Saturday this weekend, you know, there's going to be a big anti-war rally in Washington, D.C. Act Now to Stop War and End Racism, ANSWER, and other groups are pulling this thing together. And they say that tens of thousands from scores of organizations
will take to the streets in Washington and other cities around the world. The marchers will begin at the Ellipse in Oval Park behind the White House, then go around the White House in Lafayette Park and up Pennsylvania Avenue to the Justice Department, and then back on Constitution Avenue to a stage on the grounds of the Washington Monument. The organizers said dozens of buses will bring in demonstrators from other cities. The last time there was a rally like this was back on April 12th, before the war. And this one, everybody's expecting, is going to be a much larger event. So it should be interesting. And if any of you who are listening attend, please give us a call on Monday and let us know what your experience was. I would love to get some reports from the field, as opposed to the news through the filter of the national media. Some reports from the field of what was going on there, what it was like. And should be interesting. I'll be down in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, broadcasting live from the Center for American Progress conference. Wesley Clark is going to be speaking and a whole bunch of other folks. And we'll have some of the guests who are the movers and shakers in that arena on this program. So that's what's coming up for next week. Today, day 101 in the search for the White House leaker. Day 255 in the search for weapons of mass destruction and Saddam. Day 766 of the search for Osama bin Laden. Oh, I've got a Piggies alert here I wanted to share with you. This is we'll bring up our Piggies alert theme music here. Notice, you know, there's the Little Piggies and this Beatles song. They talk about the Little Piggies. Have you seen the Little Piggies? And then they talk about, have you seen the Bigger Piggies?
Have you seen the Bigger Piggies in the starched white shed? You will find the Bigger Piggies staring at the dead. Always have clean shirts.
So what are the Bigger Piggies with their clean white starched shirts up to now? Well, this actually is a Vermont-specific story, but my guess is that things like this are happening all over the nation. It depends, you know, from state to state on what they have. We were fortunate here in Vermont that during the Howard Dean administration, Howard Dean passed a law, or the legislature passed a law, he signed it, that said that an insurance company, that health insurance companies in Vermont could not discriminate against people based on their health. In other words, if you get sick, they can't jack up your prices or cut off your coverage. Or if you have a pre-existing condition or you are, say, I think they can still prohibit pre-existing conditions, but they can't charge more. And, you know, as this practice is called cherry picking, only covering young, healthy people and rejecting everybody else. So we have in Vermont what's called community rating, which means that they go into a community, a town or a county, and they say, okay, what's the average cost to insure all of these people? That's what we're going to insure everybody for. And they can only have one price in that community. And it's worked out very well for the citizens of Vermont, although the insurance companies don't like it. And as a result, there's only four companies now selling health insurance in this state. Blue Cross, Cigna, MVP, and United Healthcare. Only four left. But they are here because, hey, you can make money. And so now that Howard Dean is out of office, we have a Republican governor who was elected with something like 40-some-odd percent of the vote because so much of the progressive vote, middle-of-the-road and left vote, was split between the Progressive Party candidate and the Democratic candidate. So we've got this Republican, Jim Douglas. And here comes this news, this from Vermont Public Radio. The Douglas administration will seek changes to Vermont's community health rating health insurance program or system in an effort to attract more insurance companies to the state. So they're going to do away with this for any company that has fewer than 50 employees. So what they're going to do is they're going to keep community ratings for companies that have more than 50 employees. In other words, the big corporations will still get the low insurance rates. But small companies and individuals who buy health insurance in the state of Vermont under this Republican plan, so this are going to get screwed. See, this is the thing. I mean, this isn't even a conservative agenda anymore because it has nothing to do with conservative traditional values. This is the extent to which the Republican Party has become a front organization for the largest corporations in America and their most predatory practices. I mean, it just boils right down to that. You look at everything that this party is doing, the Republican Party, and the Democratic Party, you know, they're maybe a third of the time they're dancing to the same tune, but a surprising amount of the time, given the incredible political and financial pressures they're under, they're actually standing up to this. And they really need our support and help. And, of course, we've got other parties, you know, the Greens and the Progressives and other parties standing up also and trying to take a stand. But really the Democrats and the labor unions are the only ones who are holding the, you know, who are drawing a line. The only ones standing between the Republicans and the takeover of the complete and final corporate takeover of America. This morning on the commercial AM radio, I heard the Osgood Report. Charles Osgood, you know, his little CBS thing, I'm assuming. And he talked about, and he used, it was about changing, you know, reforming this thing that's before Congress right now to make it harder or nearly impossible for class action lawsuits to happen. Big business in America, and we're talking big business, the tobacco industry, the polluting energy industries, they don't like class action lawsuits. A class action lawsuit is where somebody is doing some harm that is so extensive, so terrible, so many people are harmed by it, that those victims can get together and form a class. They don't have to each individually sue, which can be very expensive and very difficult. They can get together and do one lawsuit as a group. Say, we were all harmed by this. And if they can demonstrate that they genuinely were harmed, then they win. Well, the big corporations don't like this at all. They would rather fight people one at a time. It's much easier to intimidate individuals than to intimidate an entire group of people who have a good lawyer. And so Charles Osgood got on, and he didn't mention what I just told you not once. Instead, he used all their buzzwords. They want to reform the system. And there were several other phrases he used. I should have written them down. I don't remember them now, but it was just the classic corporate propaganda, Republican propaganda buzzwords that would, and you listen to his piece and you think afterwards, gee, that's common sense. We want to reform the system. We want to make things more efficient. And then I got up and I turned on NPR, and there was Ted Kennedy saying, with this reform of class action lawsuits, so-called reform, what they're trying to do is strip the ability of individuals to recover compensation for injury from the largest of our corporations in America. It's the classic thing. It's that study that was done where they found that people who watch Fox News were like 80% of them believe specific things about the Gulf War, or about the Iraq War, that just simply are not true. That Saddam Hussein was behind 9/11, for example. 80% of Fox News viewers, about 60% of CBS viewers and listeners, only 23%, as I recall, of National Public Radio or public television listeners. They didn't, of course, survey the listeners to this radio program. I'm sure that we would get very good marks. Very good marks. By the way, if you want to talk with other listeners of this program in real time while the program is on the air, go to TomHartmann.com and just click on the chat link, and it'll take you to our live chat room. It takes you to a forum in CompuServe, and you just click the chat button once you get in there, and it'll drop you to the chat room where some of the most interesting conversations in all of cyberspace go on. And if you click on the message board, it'll take you to our message board where there's, I don't know, 20-some-odd thousand messages now, 1,600 or so members, regular actually contributing members to the forum, and tens of thousands of people who read it on a regular basis, talking about a lot of these issues. And it's interesting how many conservatives and liberals and folks all in between we have in there. So it's lots of opportunities. Will the American economy survive conservative mismanagement? Let's dig into this in some depth. We'll start out with some startling news from Asia. Stay tuned. This is Tom Hartmann on the IE America Radio Network. Truth and common sense in broadcasting. We'll be right back.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away Juicy gummies on Halloween.
Hmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells Juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Hey, look for Juicy gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than three people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country, one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Sitting here just contemplating a cat with the truth. It knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation. And marches alone can't bring innovation. When human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me over and over
from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our 10 steps to restore democracy to America includes we own our government and our commons. Number 2, drowning government in a bathtub, as the neocons recommend, may have been a good idea in the Soviet Union, but the United States is a constitutional representative democratic republic where our government is literally us. We should have some say in these things, like the theft of health care from us. But apparently the Republicans don't think so. They don't think that would be a good idea. Overseas, the mood was grim this morning. We'll get to that in just a moment. There's strange things happening in the Far East with regard to the economy. 1-800 is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Terry in Petaluma, California is on the line. Terry, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. I really appreciate your show, and your wisdom is just wonderful. But I'm anxious to hear about the situation in the Asian Rim financial market. In fact, I'm holding some Chinese stock right now that just went out of sight down this morning, and I'm really interested in hearing. But you talked about just a little bit ago about how there was some of the splits that went on within the different parties in your state, and how it fragmented the power of the people's voice, I guess, in the state, and they
right.
ended up with a Republican.
Yeah, basically, we ended up with a Republican governor and a Republican lieutenant governor, and neither one of them got anything close to 50% of the vote because the Progressive Party is so strong here in Vermont. Well, they gave Howard Dean a run for his money for 10 years.
Yeah, well,
he was always able to pull it through.
The thing about it is, you mentioned this term progressive, and I watched Kucinich's speech on his announcement speech on streaming video and became unbelievably enthralled with him, and I went out and got a T-shirt. And on the back of the T-shirt, he says it's the progressive vision. Now, is he considered a progressive, or is he considered a progressive inside the Democratic shell? Or are we are the Democrats facing the prospect of being splintered up by somebody that's considered a progressive? Well, what's the status on this?
Well, some would say that the Democrats have already been splintered up. Others would say that folks are coming forward who just don't find a home in the Democratic Party, who call themselves either progressives or greens. Here in Vermont, the Green Party is pretty insignificant, but the Progressive Party is huge. The Progressive Party candidate in the last three or four elections was Tony Pollina. He ran against Dean for governor time after time and would pull 15, 20, 30% of the vote sometimes. And in the last election, he ran for lieutenant governor, and I think he got 28%, 24 or 28% of the vote. And he's a good guy, and he's a friend. And so we have here a party called the Progressive Party, and there are a few other progressive parties around the country. But basically, the Green Party and the Progressive Party have staked out to the left of the Democrats' position. On the other hand, progressive is a word that in large part has just replaced liberal for people who have become uncomfortable with the word liberal because the conservatives have done such a good job of making it a dirty word, in my opinion. It's not a description of anything all that different. Does that make sense?
Yes, very much so. But is the general consensus, does everybody really like what Dean did with your state there?
Well, no. There's not he is not universally loved here, but he's certainly not universally hated. I think he's very widely respected. He was able to work with Republicans. He was able to work with Democrats. The guy is a real pragmatist. He's like, let's make things work. And what that meant is that some people didn't get what they wanted, and other people did. And so you know there are people around in this state who are upset with him, but they're really few and far between in my experience. I think he was an excellent governor. Terry, thanks for the call. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Might be living through one of the largest extinction events in Earth history, but it's not making many waves.
I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The age of dinosaurs ended 65 million years ago when a giant meteorite crashed into the Earth at the end of the Cretaceous period. Well over half of all species met their doom in the cataclysm. Ann Weil is a paleontologist at Duke University. Weil studies how animal species recovered after the Cretaceous mass extinction. She says large-scale losses of species don't always occur in such spectacular ways.
I think that, yes, there is a preconception that a mass extinction has to happen catastrophically and very suddenly. And in fact, that's not the case.
Weil says the Earth might be going through a mass extinction event right now. Many scientists claim we're losing plant and animal species at a rate unseen since the end of the dinosaur age.
And because the reconstructions of the end Cretaceous extinction are so dramatic, with the asteroid impact and giant tsunamis and so forth and so on, many people don't realize that there is a catastrophe going on right now. But you are going to live the best day of your life in the middle of a mass extinction event, and you're probably not going to notice.
Some scientists estimate that today's extinction rate is 1,000 times greater than normal, although such numbers are debatable. But Weil says something is happening, and her research shows that some species are at a clear disadvantage in these events. She says large plants and animals with small geographic ranges and those most dependent on certain ecosystems are most at risk. Animals that are more adaptable and that live across broad areas and conditions will fare much better. Those include coyotes, cockroaches, and humans. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
He's a cowboy president, but he wears a black hat. In America, can't get away with that. On the eve of destruction again, and he's got the knack. He's the cowboy president, but he wears a black hat.
Welcome back to the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. In our chat room, Adrian in Melbourne, Australia has logged in. He's listening to the program right now live on the web, and he said on his website he's got a bunch of great pictures of George W. Bush from his visit to Australia. His website is www.freedomhaters.com, an interesting site. And thank you, Adrian, for passing that along. And I thought it was interesting. George apparently was missing his free speech zones, you know, where whenever anybody tries to protest, historically, when people have protested a president speaking, or they you know, you have people who are holding up signs saying, "We love you," and we have people holding up signs who say, "Stop the war," or whatever, you know, it's a... Or tell the truth about Monica. I mean, you know, so there, from Clinton all the way back to George Washington, and I'm not exaggerating, there have been people who have protested presidential speeches. And while, it's entirely appropriate to stop people who disrupt presidential speeches, like they hauled those two guys from the Green Party out of the House of, I'm assuming it's called Parliament in Australia. Adrian can correct me there.
when they tried to heckle George W. and they had him evicted, it's not, I don't think, appropriate to say to the people standing outside the building that they have to move a half mile away and stand inside a chain link fence if they want to protest. And all the people who hold up signs saying, yeah, we're happy Republicans, that they can stand right outside the building where the, you know, where CNN will get the picture. And this administration has been doing this, and this is something George Bush first developed when he was governor of Texas. He started doing this. And it's clearly unconstitutional. It's clearly a violation of the First Amendment of the United States. I mean, there's just, there's no way around it. It is such an incredible violation. You know, the First Amendment. Congress shall pass no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And if that doesn't, so anyhow, he must have been really missing his free speech zones, because when they hauled those guys out from the Green Party, when they interrupted him, he mumbled something about how he loves free speech. And I think he just left the word zones out. Mike in Georgia has called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Mike, what's on your mind this morning, or this afternoon, or whatever it is, wherever.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hey, Mike, yeah.
Okay, just the listening to a lot of revisionist history here. One, I got to touch base with the conservatives destroying the economy. I don't know the last time you checked, but the economy, based on Bush's tax cuts, has rebounded almost 30%.
There's
been
kidding.
Over 50,000 jobs.
Mike,
you can
Mike,
laugh all you like,
wait a
Tom,
second. 30%?
Tom, you can laugh
how do you
all
define
you like.
The economy, Mike?
Tom, what's the stock market at? Where did it
the
start
stock market
at?
Is not the economy, Mike. Mike, if you think the stock market is the economy, you need to go back to high school.
No, Tom. Let me explain a little bit of basic fundamentals here of economics, which you obviously missed in whatever college you went to. And if you got an economics degree, you need to go get your money back. I'm a small business owner. When I was able to get the tax cuts that Bush gave back to me, I was able to reinvest into my business. What that enabled me to do was to get more advertising. The more advertising allowed me to grow, which enabled me to hire more people, therefore take someone off the street who was not working. Simple economic
Mike, what's
policy,
your business?
It worked. And if
Mike,
you will go back
business?
To the 80s, Tom.
Hey, Mike!
Time,
what's your business?
I'm general contracting.
Okay. And so you took your personal income tax refund, and you used that money to buy advertising. Is that right?
You always, whenever you have a small business, the only thing that's going to really sell you, one, is word of mouth. Two, is you want to put advertising in the Yellow Pages.
And Mike, I have built 7 businesses over the years. I understand how to run a small business.
Okay.
So you're saying
when you don't have, do you take your money and you just give it away to someone and then hope that it doesn't grow? Or do you reinvest into your business?
You're saying that you took, first of all, you got a check back? You got a $300 check? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I got a $600 check back.
$600 check. Okay. You took that $600 and you put it in advertising?
In Yellow Pages.
Okay. Good. Great. I commend you for that. I think that's marvelous. Now, what are you going
to
do about the fact, Mike, that $600
mm-hmm.
that you got back is debt that you're now going to have to pay interest on?
Well, I don't know.
That wasn't really a tax cut, Mike.
Yeah, Tom, let's go back and study economics again. If you'll recall the 80s, Tom, when Reagan cut the marginal rates down, that caused the economy to grow at a phenomenal rate. And
that's because he was doing debt spending, Mike. He was doing the exact same.
Don't change history here to suit your political viewpoints here. That caused the revenues to what? How high did they go? Because why? More people had the ability to pay taxes. If you have more people paying taxes, even if it's at a lower rate, you still have more money generated. That's not a difficult concept, and you keep completely
Mike, you're missing a real fundamental concept here, and it's just very simple and very straightforward. If I was to hand you $100,000 tomorrow, just hand you $100,000 and say, here, spend it. You're not going to have to pay it back. By the way, I'm going to put it on the bill of your children, but you're not going to have to pay it back. Would you look more prosperous, Mike?
No, Tom, when you pass it out...
You don't think you look more prosperous?
Tom, let me finish. When you hand that check out to $100,000 $100,000 to 100,000 more people, and they each, in turn, start their own business, they invest in themselves, they invest in college, therefore making themselves a more marketable employee, hire more people, that lessens the burden on the children and eliminates the burden on the children, which is what
no,
we
Mike,
saw
sorry,
in the 80s.
Sorry, what happened was, as a consequence of Reagan running the deficit up so high... As Mike, as a consequence of Reagan running the deficit up so high, this the economy went in the tank, and it cost George. We had the Reagan recession, and it cost George H.W. Bush the election. You're completely missing, Mike. I appreciate your call, but you're so off the Ben and Elgin is on the line. Ben and Elgin, Illinois. Ben, your thoughts on this?
Hey there. Well, you know, although I, you know, my training, I'm a physicist. When I was at the University of Chicago, I took several 400 level economics courses under disciples of Milton Friedman, and I've actually had conversations with Milton Friedman. So I think I'm pretty well acquainted with the actual economics as conservatives would understand it. And this economy is in the tank.
Mike is speaking in bumper stickers. You know, it's the problem is he's been listening to right-wing talk radio.
That is true. See, there's a few problems. Yes, if you cut taxes, you stimulate the economy. This is a true thing.
Sure.
However, you do not stimulate the economy if you cut taxes past the point where you can cover your spending, because, as you said, you are borrowing from the future and you are piling on interest payments for the future, and that is simply a non-starter. A few other problems.
Well, there is an exception, Ben, and this has been recognized for two centuries in this country, and that is that if the country is in a serious war like World War II, and we also went into debt during the Korean War, or in a depression, as during the Great Depression, that you can engage in deficit spending, but you have to pay it back within that life cycle. I mean, within that generation, you have to pay it back.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's a limit to how deep you can go for things like that. And in fact, it probably is a far more wise thing for the government to actually wind up having a reserve to spend in those times, actual cash in the bank that we accumulate during good times.
Canada just reported a $7 billion surplus for the year ended. It just ended.
Yeah, that's not that hard to do in a Western economy if you have a sensible policy. The other problem these people who seem to think the Laffer curve works have is that they assume that we are in a 100% efficient market. We are not in a 100% efficient market or economy. And so a lot of these things that, you know, look good on paper suffer from feedback hysteresis loop problems.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
You know,
good
I mean,
point.
You know, a busload of economists goes off a cliff. Are they worried? Well, no, because they're certain that the great demand for parachutes that has just been created will be satisfied by the free market.
Well said. Ben, thank you for the call. It's a good point. Overseas, the mood was grim. This from a news story that was posted at 9 o'clock this morning on the Quicken Brokerage site, their news center, which has some pretty good and up-to-date stuff. Tokyo stocks plunged at their sharpest pace in 2 years as U.S. futures weakened and as worries about the outlook for Prime Minister Koizumi's administration prompted heavy profit-taking. They dropped 554.46 points to 10,335, marking the largest point fall for a single day since 9/11, or since September of 2001. Initial jobless claims for the previous 4 weeks, the initial jobless claims for last week, 386,000 people showed up looking for work last week, an average of 392,250 for the month. And U.S. stocks suffered their sharpest drop in a month Wednesday, yesterday. What's going on here? The dollar fell to substantial lows against all these currencies of these other countries today, this morning, overnight. I mean, a huge drop in the dollar. And as Adam Cole, the current currency strategist for Credit Agricole Indosuez, says, this is in the Financial Times of London this morning, the question is now to assess if we are experiencing the first step of a sharp retracement phase in equity markets, or if this is just another dip which could offer a buying opportunity over the medium term. In other words, is this a burp in the market, or is this a real problem that's coming? There's a really good piece in the Wall Street Journal on Tuesday by George
Meloen, I'm assuming it's pronounced, a Global View. A snow job caused Bush's currency gaffes in Asia. And he talks about how John Snow, you know, how this administration, basically, Snow, the Secretary of Treasury, has just bungled this thing. And they've bungled it by thinking that you can affect import-export imbalances, that we've got this huge debt with China where we owe them all kinds of money because we're buying more stuff from them than they are from us. And not just them, I mean the rest of the world as well. And that's unsustainable. Eventually that will crash. And it looks like it's getting closer and closer to that, in fact. There's a lot of folks who are starting to have spooky thoughts about that. And so they're suggesting that that what they're doing is they're going and they're saying, okay, you guys make your currency stronger so the Chinese imports become more expensive in the United States. Well, Japan and China are both controlling the yen and the yuan, or the yuan and the yen, respectively, in order to prevent that from happening and, you know, to protect their own domestic industries and to maintain stability. I mean, after the wipeout in Asia 6, 8, 10 years ago, whenever that was, in the late 90s, they don't want to see that happening, and so they're trying to control this. And just big concerns all around the world about what this administration is doing with our currency. Kevin in Tampa has some thoughts on this. Kevin, thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. How you doing today?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you?
That's
Kevin?
Great. I'm great. I was just thinking while I was waiting on hold.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get you on the over-the-air radio down here in Tampa because I can't leave my computer now when you're on.
Yeah, well, is Sarasota near you?
Yeah, but their stations don't reach up here. You got a station down there?
Well, we've got a contract signed with one. I'm not sure if we're in the air there yet or not.
They don't have any good stations. Well, they have one on FM, but
they're an AM station.
A rock station that reaches up here. You're not going to be on them.
Yeah,
listen, I wanted to talk very briefly about the taxes, not the trade deficit you were just talking about and so forth, but I'm getting a little tired of these right-wing ringers calling up, talking about tax cuts as a cure-all for economic woes. And I didn't hear it precisely today, but I know Reagan did it and Bush talked about it before. They keep on citing JFK's tax cut. And very rarely do you ever have it pointed out anyplace that the tax rate at the time that he did it, part of it was confiscatory because it was as high as 90%.
Right.
And he got cut back to 70.
Right.
You know, I mean, and it's not the same thing. We're talking about tax rates in the 30s, the top rate, and then everybody starts adding in local and state taxes, saying, "Oh, I'm paying 50% taxes." Well, there's not very many people paying 50% taxes.
Yeah, no, there aren't. And for that matter, there weren't that many people paying 90% taxes back then. JFK's point was that he was trying to close tax loopholes because nobody was paying 90%. So what he did was he actually, the taxes that he cut were mostly on the middle class. Yes, they cut the top marginal rate from 90% to 70%.
But he closed
closed all kinds of loopholes. So people who were paying more than 30% and less than 70% were actually paying more. In fact, let me just share with you real quickly what JFK himself had to say about that.
Yes, I have stated in both the debates and state again that I believe in a balanced budget and have supported that concept during my 14 years in the Congress. The only two times when an unbalanced budget is warranted would be during a serious recession, and we had that in 58 in an unbalanced budget of $12 billion, or a national emergency where there should be large expenditures for national defense, which we had in World War II and during part of the Korean War.
Now, this is not rocket science. He continues.
Third, I think it's possible to gain a $700 million to $1 billion through tax changes, which I believe would close up loopholes on dividend withholding, on expense accounts. So in my judgment, we would spend more money in this administration on aid to education, we'd spend more money on housing, we'd spend more money, and I hope more wisely, on defense than this administration has done. But I believe that the next administration should work for a balanced budget, and that would be my intention. Mr. Nixon misstates my figures constantly, which is, of course, is right. But the fact of the matter is, here is where I stand, and I just want to have it on the public record.
Yeah, and I think it's really important whenever Republicans quote JFK talking about how he wanted to raise taxes, or he wanted to cut taxes, rather, that ain't quite exactly how it happened. And it is important to allow him to be on the public record.
Do you find lots?
I like it how they keep on referring to Democrats as big spenders.
Yeah.
They're the ones doing all the spending.
Oh, it's outrageous. Ronald Reagan presided over the largest increase in federal spending in the history of the United States until George W. Bush came along. It's just, it's very simple. It's they have turned reality upside down. Kevin, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. John, stay on the line. We'll take your call right after the break. This is Tom Hartman. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Toyota owners, get over to your Toyota dealer and get this feeling. The feeling of winning a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. Toyota's giving away 12 of them, plus 1,000 more worth $100 each. Just bring your Toyota into your participating Toyota dealer for service and enter. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends October 31st. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents who are valid licensed drivers and 18 or older. Void in Hawaii. Official rules available at toyota.com/owners.
Nothing complements a ball game like a bag of roasted peanuts. I like to eat them 3-4 at a time, and I'm talking the jumbo ones, lightly salted and fresh from the shell.
Ah, peanuts, baseball, and the crack of my tooth!
Don't let toothaches interfere with your life. When you can't get to the dentist, get Maximum Strength Ambisol. It contains the same strong pain relief medicine your dentist uses, so it works faster than you can say, ah. Maximum Strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone. Use as directed.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on!
Show.
Jody in Arlington Heights. She said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine. And it seems to be working. There have been times when I've done talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery. But that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear my wife program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, when you just...
The Michael
Alloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Exposing the con and conservative, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome back to our program. We're talking about, will the American economy survive conservative mismanagement? And John in Minnesota has some thoughts on that. John, thanks for calling the program.
Hi, Tom. There was a some discussion up here not too long ago about what's happening with the federal government cutting aid to the states. Mm-hmm. And the $87 million that Bush just asked for Iraq would have covered the deficits, I believe, every state in the union.
Right, yes, that was widely publicized.
And yeah. What the discussion up here has been is that the Republicans on the national level know exactly what they're doing. They're forcing the states to reduce their budgets and cut the programs the Republicans don't like. They're cutting education. They're cutting the state versions of the Medicaid, you know, the state medical programs. They're cutting Head Start. They're cutting all these state programs, cutting aid to colleges, everything else. They're forcing those cuts when it would have been like $87 or $88 million would have covered the shortfall in every state in the country. But by, right. You know, by cutting that state aid at the federal level, they're forcing the states who are required by their constitution to balance their budgets. They're forcing them to cut those programs. They haven't been able to get rid of them at the federal level, so they're forcing the states to get rid of them, despite
the. Right. Well, this is the conservative agenda. This is absolutely a conservative agenda, John, and it's not that they're cutting the programs because they think that they're doing some harm to the country or that they're bad. It's that they want to open the door to the extreme right-wing Christian church folks, and it's actually a very small slice. You got Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson lining up and taking literally hundreds of millions of dollars, these groups now, from the government to provide some of these services and allow corporations a wider hand in these things, as they are in Iraq, you know, with the private contractors there. It's the corporatization, it's the feudalization of America. That's the process that we're watching here very clearly.
Exactly. I mean, that was my comment on that, is they're forcing the states to get rid of these programs that they don't like. They're opening the doors, talk of privatization within the education community. And I used to kind of think that might not be a bad thing. And you pointed out that those corporate dollars, they're going to take their profit right off the top.
They are, and they always will. John, we got to wrap it up here because we've come up against the edge of the show here. But thank you for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, Truth in Broadcasting.
From those nets at Tiananmen Square, it's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me? You hate me?
I have something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The commander of U.S. ground forces in Iraq is reporting an increase in attacks on American troops. Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez also says groups linked to Al-Qaeda may be responsible for some recent bombings in Iraq, although no known members of the terrorist network have been caught in the country. Sanchez told reporters in Baghdad on Wednesday that U.S. troops have come under attack as many as 35 times a day in the past 3 weeks, with an average of 20 to 25 attacks each day. He also said he expects the strikes to become more aggressive, radical, and organized as coalition forces continue to search for deposed leader Saddam Hussein. Democrat Wesley Clark said Wednesday he would repeal President Bush's tax cuts for wealthier Americans if he wins next November. The retired Army general said in a speech at the University of New Hampshire's Manchester campus, "When you are in a hole, stop digging. This country is in a deep hole, and I have a plan to get us out." Clark said he would require people earning more than $200,000 a year to pay more taxes than they would under Bush, but would not rescind any tax cuts going to middle-class taxpayers, and the child tax credit would be preserved for parents of any income. President Bush weighed in on Indonesia's struggle between democracy and Islamic fundamentalism Wednesday, saying during a three-hour visit that peace and economic growth in Asia depend on Indonesia's success as a democratic state. Mr. Bush's stopover was restricted for security reasons to Bali, and he traveled less than a mile from where Air Force One landed. Bush met with Muslim moderates who were sharply critical of his policies towards the Middle East and Iraq. The FBI is investigating a letter containing the deadly poison ricin, which was found last week in an airport post office in Greenville, South Carolina. No one was harmed by exposure to the poison, but the airmail office in the cargo area of the airport was closed as a precautionary measure. Officials said they viewed the incident as a case of criminal extortion and terrorism was not suspected. More after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
A Toledo, Ohio man who bid $60,300 in an eBay auction bought the last two seats on this week's final flight of the Concorde. Proceeds from the auction will go to the Boys and Girls Club, the Fred Rogers Fund, Reading is Fundamental, and UNICEF. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Nothing complements a ball game like a bag of roasted peanuts. I like to eat them 3-4 at a time, and I'm talking the jumbo ones, lightly salted and fresh from the shell.
Ah, peanuts, baseball, and the crack of my tooth!
Don't let toothaches interfere with your life. When you can't get to the dentist, get Maximum Strength Ambisol. It contains the same strong pain relief medicine your dentist uses, so it works faster than you can say, ah. Maximum Strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone. Use as directed.
Okay, America, back off. Back off from the table, that is. If you needed a clue that too many of us are packing in too many groceries at each meal, that some of us need to learn to say no to that fourth package of ding-dongs, and that America has developed a national poundage problem of Goliath proportions, here it is. Coffin makers are finding that an alarming number of us no longer can be squeezed into the standard-size burying box. So they're doing a booming business in double-wides and triple-wides. Today, 20% of our population is not merely chubby, big-boned, or even fat, but officially designated as obese, a more than 50% jump in obesity just since 1991. Having lived large, these folks are also dying large, and this literally is reshaping the funeral industry. The Goliath Casket Company in Indiana, for example, has gone from selling one triple-wide a year to selling four or five a month. These babies not only have extra space, but also extra bracing and reinforced handles to ensure what is euphemistically called the integrity of a coffin that has to hold 300, 400, 500, or even more pounds. But the coffin is only the start of the industry supersizing. Hearse manufacturers are having to widen their vehicles, including making bigger rear doors. Grave vaults have to be wider, too, which means the front-end scoops on grave digging equipment have to be broadened. Crematoriums are having to provide special training to their staffs for handling larger corpses. And cemeteries themselves are having to reconfigure their plots in order to squeeze in fewer but larger bodies, often doubling the standard width of a burial plot. This is Jim Hightower saying, even the comforting language of undertakers has had to adjust. It would be bad form to say to the bereaved that mom's too fat. Instead, the new line is, mom's not going to look comfortable in that casket.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Ban ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Ban ji la.
You know everything.
Xie xie.
I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Every Thursday in our second hour of our program, we try to get out of politics and economics and what's in the news and that kind of thing that is largely the core of the show, and stretch a little, go into realms that go beyond that, and very often with guests. And today I'm very pleased. In our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment, that is, you know, let's look at things that we weren't thinking about, maybe didn't understand, perhaps you hadn't considered. Debbie Ford is our guest. Debbie Ford is a New York Times number one best-selling author, creator of The Shadow Process, and founder of the Ford Institute for Integrative Coaching. She has committed her life to supporting others in leading fully integrated lives, and she's the author of The Right Questions, Dark Side of the Light Chasers, Spiritual Divorce, and Secret of the Shadow. Quite a collection there, Debbie. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thanks. Great to be here.
I'm pleased to have you here. You say, you talk in your book about the shadow side, that very often what people are protesting about the most is the thing that is a part of them that they're most afraid to embrace or to dance with, as it were. Is that an accurate portrayal in a thumbnail?
Well said, Tom. Everything that we point our fingers at, the things that we don't like in other people, are the disowned parts of ourselves or the parts of ourselves that we wish weren't there.
Right.
Most of the time they're denied, so for most people they don't even know they're there, so they just think somebody else has these bad qualities and I don't.
Right. This is a characteristic that Sigmund Freud called projection.
Projection. When we see, when we transfer some part of ourselves onto other people, and we do it all the time. We don't just do it with our dark side, with our dark qualities. We also do it with our light. We do it with politicians, with athletes, with people that we admire or are so excited about. Oftentimes we're just seeing a part of ourselves, a positive part of ourselves in them that needs to be embraced within ourselves.
Yeah, I learned that lesson when I was young, when I was 7 or 8 years old, and at school in the second or third grade, some kid had accused me of stealing something from him, and he was certain that I had done it, and I hadn't. I mean, I genuinely hadn't. Here I can, nearly 50 years later, tell you that. And my dad picked me up after school, and I was so upset. I was really wounded by this because the teacher had come to the conclusion that he was right. And I think many of the class had, because he was so into it. And he was always pointing fingers at people for things. This kid was an expert blamer. And my dad said to me, if he's always assuming that people are stealing from him, he's probably a person that you can't trust. He's a person who has stealing on his mind a lot. He's a person who would steal if he had an opportunity. So don't take it personally. He's just thinking that you think the same way he does. And it was an epiphany to me and has served me so well in my life. And I think that that's sort of at the core of what you're talking about. I'm wondering, Debbie, do those who make their name condemning people's moral faults, William Bennett comes to mind, have more severe dark sides than the rest of us?
Well, sometimes we say the bigger the light, the bigger the shadow, the bigger the darkness. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I think the best way to explain it is, as a human being, if we are trying to resolve something inside ourselves, even if we're unaware of it, and I don't like the parts of me that might fall prey to lust or greed or whatever you've deemed wrong, then I will probably become a person who tells people how to live their lives and how to be virtuous and how to do many things. It's just the nature of who we are as a human being. I always tell people to attend their own lecture, because whatever mm-hmm. you're lecturing about is the exact thing that you need to hear about, that you need to learn. And we don't understand that. You know, the most amazing thing I think about being a human being to me is that you can walk into a room with 100 people, and if you have sight, you can see every single one of them, right? There's only one person that you can't see, and that's yourself. And so how we're designed, the magnificence of the human, is that I can see myself, but I can't see myself in me. I can see myself in you. And what I love about you and inspired is the parts of me that are wanting and needing to come forth. And what I'm horrified by or disgusted by or annoyed by in you are the parts of me that I would feel those have those same feelings towards.
Excellent. You know, I have always felt that the things that I have taught are the things that I mostly needed to learn, and I learned the best by teaching for myself in my own life. Are you suggesting, you know, basically your message is that everyone has a dark side and you shouldn't try to change it? Instead, you should embrace it and make it work for you? Is that?
Yeah, because you really can't change it. I mean, okay, people, so you can manage it, and that's what, you know, we're seeing a lot in the news right now of different people whose lives are kind of, you know, in self-sabotage, exploding, you know, whether it's Rush Limbaugh, Kobe Bryant, these different people, because you can manage your dark side in many ways. And how most of us manage our dark sides is we try to become good people, or we try to do things really well. We do other things to take the attention off that. But I describe it as, imagine taking a beach ball. For every part of you that you can't stand or you're disgusted by or you don't want to be, anything that you were told as a child, like don't be mean, don't be selfish, don't be a liar, anything that you really have a lot of judgment on, you try to keep underneath the surface. And if you imagine what it takes to keep a beach ball underwater, what happens when you take your attention off that beach ball or you don't have your attention on it? It will pop up and hit you in the face. And that's what the shadow side does. So our job is to, instead of trying to keep all these beach balls down, is to allow them to come to the surface, to bring awareness to them. Because the minute that we bring, if we brought a candle into a dark room, it would no longer be dark anymore. There would be some light. So it's about bringing it into awareness and seeing how I could use that instead of it using me.
But you're not suggesting that Arnold was right in groping all those women because that was simply his dark side, or that Gordon Gekko, when he said greed is good, that he was expressing his highest value and he should pursue it?
No, absolutely not. But I'm saying that if you could see that, wow, I have this behavior. See, most people wouldn't even admit that they ever groped, right? They just couldn't even say it. They wouldn't even be able to say it. To say, wow, I have this. What does that need? You know, that groping is just an expression of something, right? So if we look and see, well, what does that need? And how else could I fulfill that need? So if greed is your thing, instead of just trying to say, I'm not greedy, and trying to show everybody you're not, wow, I can see I really have a greedy nature. What could I do to embrace that, or how could that greed serve me in a positive way instead of it becoming some destruction?
Yeah.
Because we all have a greedy self. And I see people, because I train people all over the world, that could use a little greed, because the greed might help them ask for that raise or go after that business. But they don't have any because they've deemed it wrong, and they want to go to the other side and just say that, you know. So it's about balancing, understanding that we have the polar opposites of each quality. And if we could allow ourselves to balance them, we've got to get out of this paradigm that there's good people and bad people.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many people are trying to be good
And I love what the great Swiss psychologist Carl Jung said. He said, I'd rather be whole than good. Because to be whole is to understand that you do, and you need the negative opposite. Think of it like, Tom, I like to think of it in metaphor. It's like, think of it, or how about like a seesaw? And so let's say you have both qualities, selfless and selfish. And you only want to show people how selfless you are, and your selfish is under the surface of your consciousness. It becomes your dark side. Well, what's going to happen is sometime that selfish, you know, if you get, you're going to get off and it's going to beat you in the face. Instead of saying, wow, how, why would I need some selfishness? I might need it to take care of myself. I might need it to put up some boundaries so I can spend more time with my family. So it's about neutralizing these qualities and understanding that the polar opposite has something. You might think being nice is the way because you grew up in a family where a parent was mean. But if you're nice all the time and you don't have any access to being mean, because mean might be able to say to your friend, you know what, I can't work on your house project this weekend because I want to spend time with my kids. So I think that it's important that we have both qualities, both sides.
Yeah, to be whole people. We're talking with Debbie Ford, author of The Right Questions, Dark Side of the Light Chasers, Spiritual Divorce, and The Secret of the Shadow. Debbie, do you see these, all of our discussion up to this point has applied to individuals. Do you see the same thing in institutions and organizations? Do you see it in political parties? Do you see it in and is it more pronounced? Is somebody being on the fringe of a political movement, for example, an extreme left or right, or however you define it? I mean, these words are becoming increasingly meaningless. But those folks who stake out the fringe positions, are those the ones who are the most repressed, or who have most aggressively pushed away or failed to acknowledge their dark side?
Yes, and failed to acknowledge the polar opposite. You know, those are. All you have to do, if you want to know what your dark side is, if you're a Republican, look at the Democrats, and there you'll find your dark side. If you're a Democrat, look at the Republicans. You'll find, if you identify the qualities in either side, what you like or you don't like, you will find your dark side. So the extreme is just, you know, somebody who's so rigid and, you know, makes something so wrong. Remember, it's judgment. It's negative judgment that would make something your dark side. That's bad. That's wrong. That shouldn't be like that. You know, it's our righteousness, our arrogance that kind of separates all those things that would send somebody to the far right or the far left.
Yeah. And you've mentioned judging. Debbie Ford, we're talking with, the author of The Right Questions, Dark Side of the Light Chasers, Spiritual Divorce, and Secret of the Shadow. And, you know, in the Myers-Briggs test, they use this notion that Carl Jung came up with, who you mentioned, of judgers and perceivers. Do you see people who are, and I'm assuming you're familiar with the term?
Yes.
Do you see this as being more of a problem for judgers than perceivers, for those people who see the world in black and white rather than those people who see the world as shades of gray?
Yeah, although I see that each different type of person has a different way to manage their dark side and see their dark side and express it. So I think in that way it doesn't matter what you are, because I think it's just part of our humanity. We all have it. I mean, I really have never met anybody who isn't, you know, judging all the time. I think it's part of our humanness. And, you know, there's always that in many spiritual traditions, there's that to stop judgment. But anybody who I've ever asked, whether they've been, you know, practiced spirituality for years, like, can you really stop judging? Most people say no. But what I know is that if we stop judging ourselves, Tom, if we could take the judgment off our internal selves, that's when we can stop judging the external.
And that's when we can heal. Debbie Ford, thank you very much for being on the program today. Debbie Ford, author of The Right Questions, Dark Side of the Light Chasers, Spiritual Divorce, and Secret of the Shadow. I appreciate your showing up, Debbie.
Great. Thanks for having me, Tom.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Debbie Ford, New York Times number one best-selling author, creator of The Shadow Process, and founder of the Ford Institute for Integrative Coaching. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the True People's Radio. Stay tuned. We'll get back into the economy right after this.
in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Nothing complements a ball game like a bag of roasted peanuts. I like to eat them 3-4 at a time, and I'm talking the jumbo ones, lightly salted and fresh from the shell.
Ah, peanuts, baseball, and the crack of my tooth!
Don't let toothaches interfere with your life. When you can't get to the dentist, get Maximum Strength Ambisol. It contains the same strong pain relief medicine your dentist uses, so it works faster than you can say, ah. Maximum Strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone. Use as directed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Okay, America, back off. Back off from the table, that is. If you needed a clue that too many of us are packing in too many groceries at each meal, that some of us need to learn to say no to that fourth package of ding-dongs, and that America has developed a national poundage problem of Goliath proportions, here it is. Coffin makers are finding that an alarming number of us no longer can be squeezed into the standard-sized burying box. So they're doing a booming business in double-wides and triple-wides. Today, 20% of our population is not merely chubby, big-boned, or even fat, but officially designated as obese, a more than 50% jump in obesity just since 1991. Having lived large, these folks are also dying large, and this literally is reshaping the funeral industry. The Goliath Casket Company in Indiana, for example, has gone from selling one triple-wide a year to selling 4 or 5 a month. These babies not only have extra space, but also extra bracing and reinforced handles to ensure what is euphemistically called the integrity of a coffin that has to hold 300, 400, 500, or even more pounds. But the coffin is only the start of the industry supersizing. Hearse manufacturers are having to widen their vehicles, including making bigger rear doors. Grave vaults have to be wider, too, which means the front-end scoops on grave digging equipment have to be broadened. Crematoriums are having to provide special training to their staffs for handling larger corpses. And cemeteries themselves are having to reconfigure their plots in order to squeeze in fewer but larger bodies, often doubling the standard width of a burial plot. This is Jim Hightower saying, even the comforting language of undertakers has had to adjust. It would be bad form to say to the bereaved that mom's too fat. Instead, the new line is, mom's not going to look comfortable in that casket.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rush Limbaugh.
They say that I'm sleaze and elitist. You please, everybody disagrees with my rapid.
It's rapid.
I'm horrendous. I'm appalling. My ratings now are falling because I'm so full of bull, so full of crap.
Oh yes. Well, welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our bumper music there, relevant to the dark side of talk radio, I suppose. And thank you, Rush, for that introduction. Interesting concept that Debbie Ford had there. And Well, you know, if anybody wants to talk about it, give us a call. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. I wanted to share with you getting back to the economy for a minute, I wanted to share with you this analysis that was done by David Sumwal, who's an analyst in Jakarta. This is in the Jakarta Post. And it's the title of it is, Is it the End of the U.S. Dollar's Supremacy? And he really raises some interesting points here and thought-provoking. He says, it appears that the attention has now switched from the U.S. growth rate to its huge fiscal and trade deficits. These twin deficits may end the greenback's supremacy and lead to a realignment of the world's major currencies. The Iraq War, which was expected to be short-lived, has turned out to be a protracted guerrilla war, increasing the cost of the U.S. occupation in Iraq. And then he goes through this, you know, having to ask for more money and all the billions of dollars. And he says, consequently, Bush's tax cuts and the war have turned the $230 billion surplus inherited from the Clinton administration into a $455 billion deficit this year. People say, no, wait a minute, it was only 300 and something billion. Well, actually, it was more than that because the Social Security surplus of about $150 billion was deducted from the deficit to come up with a lower deficit number. It turns out the deficit is actually worse than was stated by this administration, if you want to protect Social Security. And then he says, another indicator of why the dollar may continue its downward path is America's colossal current account deficit. That's the balance of trade deficit. That's we're buying more than we're selling. The current deficit is 5% of gross domestic product. That's incredible. The U.S. trade deficit has grown to around $600 billion and needs a swift rebalancing to avoid a breakdown. Most of the U.S. deficit is with China, which is running a nearly $100 billion a year trade surplus. However, the dollar correction may not be enough to correct its trade deficit as the yuan is pegged to the dollar. If the dollar weakens, it would increase the U.S. trade deficit since Chinese goods would become even cheaper. And so, of course, they're trying to strengthen the dollar, but it's not going to become strong relative to the yuan. The social and economic foundation of China may collapse if its exports were suddenly to lose their competitive edge. And there you'd have a big problem. Ironically, the U.S. is financing its twin deficit by borrowing excessively from the world, and in particular from Asia. The Asian central banks alone hold more than 75% of all, make more than 75% of all international purchases of U.S. government debt, which amounts to $1.7 trillion. And then he summarizes, and it's pretty, really rather startling. The U.S. cannot continue to increase its net indebtedness to the rest of the world. This is how the rest of the world sees us. I mean, the economists around the world are saying there are signs that private investors have been shifting their portfolio mix away from American assets lately. Private investors seem to have started to have doubts about putting their money into a country with such a demonstrated lack of competence in macroeconomic management, given so many corporate banking and accounting scandals. Asian, Middle Eastern, and Central European bankers have also begun to diversify their current reserves away from the dollar. He talks about the ASEAN countries, plus China, Japan, and South Korea, that they're all trying to reduce their dollar holdings by buying each other's currencies. And they're creating an Asian bond market by doing so. And by doing this, he says, these countries believe they can reduce their dependency on the dollar, thus avoiding any repeat of the financial collapse of 1997. Politically, now this is really where it gets interesting, because there's the, you know, who do we like dimension of this. Politically, the Iraq War has also induced feelings of discontent against the U.S. with Europe just behind the Islamic world in its disaffection. And he talks about the Muslims adopting the gold dinar and the danger, all these multiple dangers to the dollar, that the dollar depreciation may only happen gradually. But he suggests that it's possible it could even happen very suddenly. Stay tuned. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
might be living through one of the largest extinction events in Earth history, but it's not making many waves. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The age of dinosaurs ended 65 million years ago when a giant meteorite crashed into the Earth at the end of the Cretaceous period. Well over half of all species met their doom in the cataclysm. Ann Weil is a paleontologist at Duke University. Weil studies how animal species recovered after the Cretaceous mass extinction. She says large-scale losses of species don't always occur in such spectacular ways.
I think that, yes, there is a preconception that a mass extinction has to happen catastrophically and very suddenly. And in fact, that's not the case.
Weil says the Earth might be going through a mass extinction event right now. Many scientists claim we're losing plant and animal species at a rate unseen since the end of the dinosaur age.
And because the reconstructions of the end Cretaceous extinction are so dramatic, with the asteroid impact and giant tsunamis and so forth and so on, many people don't realize that there is a catastrophe going on right now. But you are going to live the best day of your life in the middle of a mass extinction event, and you're probably not going to notice.
Some scientists estimate that today's extinction rate is 1,000 times greater than normal, although such numbers are debatable. But Weil says something is happening, and her research shows that some species are at a clear disadvantage in these events. She says large plants and animals with small geographic ranges and those most dependent on certain ecosystems are most at risk. Animals that are more adaptable and that live across broad areas and conditions will fare much better. Those include coyotes, cockroaches, and humans. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Exposing the con and conservative. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. 23% of voters in a recent poll conducted by USA Today, CNN, and Gallup, 23% said that Ralph Nader should run in 2004. There's another amazing statistic in here, too. It's something like 28% say they have voted for an independent or third-party candidate for president in the past, which just somehow doesn't seem to correspond or to correlate with the number of votes that third-party candidates get. But I suppose over time you could accumulate them. Some people voted for John Anderson, and some people voted for Ralph Nader, and some people, you know, maybe they voted for Ross Perot. But when these numbers were related to Ralph Nader, he expressed, according to this article in today's USA Today, yesterday's USA Today, he expressed surprise and said, and I quote, "People are looking for alternatives to the Democratic and Republican duopoly." Duop. End quote. And, actually, the end quote was a little before that, but you get the point. So my guess is Well, Ralph has already announced. He's in this primary, this green primary, against David Cobb and a few other people, at least in some of the states. I'm not sure if it's a national thing or if it's state by state. But the Greens are going to figure this out. They're going to sort this out. Are they going to have Ralph run the show or be their candidate, rather? Or is it going to be David Cobb, or is it going to be somebody else, or is it going to be nobody? And I hope that this poll doesn't cause Ralph to think that 28% of Americans are going to vote for him, because it's not how I read it. But so the general who roared, the New York Times, in an editorial recently, I don't have the date on it. It was in the last, oh, here it is, October 22nd, yesterday. But Mr. This is about the. It's called the editorial's titled "The General Who Roared," and this, of course, is about Boykin. And it says, "But Mr. Rumsfeld did not need a personal hearing earlier this year to chastise the Army Chief of Staff for differing with him in the war in Iraq and to question the patriotism of retired generals who critiqued his war strategy on television. Unlike Boykin, they did not have the backing of conservative Christians, a key constituency for Mr. Bush's reelection." New York Times suggesting that Rumsfeld is sucking up to this general who said that the Muslims have an idol, not a real God, but an I-D-O-L, an idol, and that their God is smaller than his God, or his God is bigger than their God. And because this is a constituency, a political constituency, that they're trying to pull the wool over these people's eyes and make them think that this administration is actually religious. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number if you have thoughts on this, 1-800-825-5937. And Jim, driving through Atlanta, is on the phone. Jim, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I'll tell you what. First of all, that poll that was taken.
I'm going
off the road here.
Okay.
Yeah, that poll that was taken, I would question that in this regard. I hate to say this, but I don't trust Republicans at all. And I wonder how many of the people that said, oh, yes, I'd vote for him, and I'd voted for him in the independents in the past. I wonder how many of them are Republicans, and they'd love to have him back in again to dilute the vote.
Yeah.
As they
so they're trying to spin
in,
the poll.
Pardon?
So they're trying to spin the poll.
Right. And if you notice, I remember Pat Buchanan, he destroyed the Reform Party, so there was no competition for Bush last time.
Yeah, he did a marvelous favor for the Republicans.
He walked away with $12 million, and nobody says anything about it.
Yeah.
But I have one other comment. Have you ever noticed that when they discuss the quarterly profits of corporations, they never talk about the oil industry? Stop and think about it.
I have seen profit figures, Jim. I've seen profit figures for the oil industry.
You see them. But they never talk about them on the radio or television.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And they talk
about
huge. The quarterly profits.
I mean, they're incredibly profitable. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars right now most of the major oil companies.
Anyway, that was one of my two comments.
Okay. Jim, thank you. Thanks for picking up the phone and calling us. I appreciate it. And Doug in Redding in California was on the line, but he's dropped off. Doug, feel free to give us a call back if you want to get on and say something, and if anybody who disagrees with me wants to get on, feel free. I will tolerate. I enjoy that. I enjoy it when people who disagree with me call. It's fine. Good thing, I think. But anyhow, this thing with Boykin, the spin on this is just, this is fascinating. Here's a guy who has clearly harmed the interests of the United States. I mean, when Bush was in Southeast Asia, the Prime Minister of Indonesia felt that this was so important that she brought it up with him. The Prime Minister of Malaysia brought it up with him. And these were the ones who went public about it. I'm sure he's heard about that. And he's having to basically apologize about this to one of the groups that he spoke to. And yet this guy is still here. This guy who said, I knew that my God was bigger than his. I knew my God was a real God and his was an idol. I thought that Muslims worshiped the same God as Christians. I mean, that's what it says in the Quran, that they share a common ancestor in Abraham and the same God as Jews. And then he goes on to say, and this must have sent chills down the spine of people around the world listening, George Bush was not elected by a majority of the voters in the United States, which I guess everybody knows. He was appointed by God. The new title for Justice Rehnquist, apparently. But I think that what this is about is convincing church-going Americans, honest, sincere, believing, Christian, church-going Americans, gullible church-going Americans, not gullible because they go to church, but this goes back to George Bush saying, you know, you can fool some of the people some of the time, and those are the ones we need to concentrate on. This is about convincing church-going Americans that these guys, Rumsfeld and Bush, are religious. This is all about the 04 elections. So what if it harms the nation? Rumsfeld does not tolerate dissent in his arena. There's been no shortage. Army Chief of Staff Eric Shinseki, when he said, you know, it's going to take hundreds of thousands of troops to secure Iraq. Rumsfeld immediately shot him down, saying, that's far off the mark. You know, publicly embarrassing him. And so this guy says this, George Bush was appointed by God, and my God is bigger than his God. And Rumsfeld's response to his underling, saying this dressed in uniform, which would certainly imply to his listeners and to the world that he was speaking on behalf of the United States government. Rumsfeld's response, well, there are a lot of things that are said by people in the military or civilian life or in the Congress or in the executive branch that are their views, and that's the way we live. We're a free people. Yes. We're free people. Not to worry about it. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld laughed off reporters' questions about the comments late last week, taunting reporters as a bloodthirsty bunch when they asked what he thought about Boykin's missives. This really amplifies or clarifies this whole point that the war in Iraq, you know, George Bush looked at his daddy and said, you know, he got so popular when he had a big war against Saddam Hussein. Saddam's such a bad guy. And there's so many benefits to having a war with him. You know, I get popular and I can win the next election. And I don't like even speaking in the first person here. That there's that element of it, that there's 10% of the planet's oil there, so we can stabilize oil prices. That we can bring in oil companies and they can start pumping this stuff out and they'll make a fortune and they'll give more money to the Republicans so that more of us will get reelected. That Dick Cheney's employer, who's still writing checks to him while he's vice president, Halliburton, and for whom he still owns unexercised stock options, which he's watching go up in value as a result of these government contracts, Halliburton was losing money, remember, before the Iraq War. And now they are incredibly profitable. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars in profits. So they can easily afford to repay Dick Cheney, or to pay Dick Cheney. It's part of his deferred compensation plan to reduce the taxes on it. Can you imagine if during the Clinton administration, Al Gore had been getting checks for more than his salary as vice president from, say, the tobacco industry? I think his family used to have tobacco farms way back when. Can you imagine? They would be all over him. Now we've got John Zogby, the poller, the famous poller, the guy who is doing these polls all over the world, really good polls. And he goes to Iraq and he asks the Iraqis, what do you think? Do you think the Americans are doing a good job? Do you want them to stay here? Is this best for Iraq? And he publishes the results, and the American Enterprise Institute takes those results and spins them, and the administration picks up the spin and repeats it. And the Gulf News, A newspaper published in Dubai points this out. Here's how the Arabs are viewing us. The headline of the article, Dr. James J. Zogby, U.S. bends statistical data on Iraqi surveys. The American Institute, American Enterprise Institute's spin and the vice president's use of their spin create a faulty impression of the poll results, says the Gulf News. For example, while Cheney noted that when asked what kind of government they would like, Iraqis chose, and this is what Cheney said, the U.S. hands down, quote unquote. In fact, the results of the poll are actually quite different. 23% of Iraqis say they would like to model their new government after the U.S. 23%. Less than a quarter. 37% say none of the above. The largest portion. 17.5% would like their model to be Saudi Arabia, 12% want Syria, and 7% want their country set up like Egypt. That's hardly winning hands down, as Dick Cheney says. Raymond in Cement City, Michigan's on the line. Raymond, thanks for calling 1-800-TALK. Yes, what's up?
Well, just thought I'd call in and bring up maybe a couple of points that you might find interesting to consider. And one of them is I've been wondering, with all this talk we had a year ago, or maybe less, about the Supreme Court justices, those that were going to retire, or you're getting too old, we're going to have to. Are these guys believing that their replacements would be too egregious that they got to hang on to the next election?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Do you, my question is the Supreme Court justices who we heard so much about retiring,
right,
you know, about a year ago, do they think that their replacements, if they would retire,
the fact of the matter is that Bush has not been able to get right wing justices placed in the First Circuit, the Washington D.C. Circuit Court, which is usually the launching pad for the Supreme Court, and his chief of staff now, whose name is escaping me at the moment, but the head lawyer, his White House counsel, Alberto Gonzalez, is that it? I think, who has also been mentioned as a possible Supreme Court nominee, is now juggling this investigation of the Valerie Plame outing. And he may be badly compromised. And there's just no way, given the current climate, that Bush could get, without doing incredible damage to himself politically, I think, that Bush could get somebody through the Senate right now. And so I think that what they're thinking, and what a lot of Republicans are thinking, is let's just lay back and wait until 2004, that George will get reelected, that with a $250 million war chest, he can create a national amnesia among Americans, cause them to think that everything's fine, don't worry, up is down and left is right, and then, you know, they'll be able to push through anything they want because he'll be a lame duck president and he doesn't care anyway. Him and Rudy Giuliani, his vice president.
Yep. Interesting.
That's my thinking.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to bring up, I don't know if you had an opportunity to see the text of Wesley Clark's speech yesterday, but I thought it was interesting. He did talk about it was time to close the corporate welfare loopholes. Part of his, you have to look at the text for the exact wording, but it's something to the effect that, you know, the problem, we've got too many loopholes in the corporate tax structure. So
yeah, they're not loopholes; they're tunnels.
I thought it was hopeful. Without getting into the details, which he didn't get a lot of details out yesterday, but I thought it was hopeful that there's another candidate that's really targeting that, and actually that. That raises him on the radar screen for the current administration.
I think that we need to take it a step beyond that, Raymond. We need to abolish the idea of corporations having human rights. Right now, we have a situation where unions don't have human rights, churches don't have human rights, governments don't have union rights, civic organizations don't have human rights, municipalities don't have human rights, you and I do, which is appropriate, human beings do, and for-profit corporations have human rights. And this is a bizarre interpretation of an old 1886 Supreme Court non-decision. And the only one of the Democratic presidential candidates who understands that is Dennis Kucinich. And I am hoping that he can affect whoever ends up as the nominee, if it's not him. And I don't think it will be. It would be great if he was. He can infect them with that knowledge, because we really need to go beyond just closing loopholes. Raymond, thanks for the call. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Toyota owners, get over to your Toyota dealer and get this feeling. The feeling of winning a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. Toyota's giving away 12 of them, plus 1,000 more worth $100 each. Just bring your Toyota into your participating Toyota dealer for service and enter. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends October 31st. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents who are valid licensed drivers and 18 or older. Void in Hawaii. Official rules available at toyota.com/owners.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. The computerized voting machines in the last election, our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brainshrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet, A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters.
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The
Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman here on the IE America Radio Network. Mike in Powder Springs is on the line. Mike, what kind of impact on the American economy do you think 1,467,355 full four-year scholarships at public universities would have if you could just hand them out to people tomorrow?
Life ain't about earning things for free, Tom. It's about earning it with your input into it. I don't want anybody.
Okay, well, that's the exact amount of money that we have spent so far in Iraq.
Well, good. Let's talk about Iraq for a second. Let me ask you something. Are you for or are you disheartened by the civilian casualties that were lost in Iraq?
I am.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Under the 10 years under the UN sanctions and U.S. sanctions, 1,700,000 Iraqis lost their lives.
I know. I thought it was a disaster.
Are you less inclined that those people lost their lives under that particular program? Or
no,
is it
think
now
that's
because
a mistake.
We have American troops over there and we ended that particular practice, loss of life doesn't bother you?
Yeah, no, I think that that was a mistake. History shows that if you want to convert or if you want to change a government and you want to awaken the people, that the best way, the most effective way is what we did with the Soviet Union and what West Germany did with East Germany, which you engage the other people. You give them an opportunity to see your way of life, and if they like it, they will steal it.
Well, that would have been nice, except Saddam killed everybody in the organization, in his government, that had any inkling of doing so. I mean, he killed his own family members.
That
shows the atrocity this man would rise to. And
sure.
Do I agree with the way...
Are you familiar with Robert Mugabe?
Say again?
Are you familiar with Robert Mugabe?
I believe it's in Uganda.
No, it's Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe, my apologies.
He's killed 2.5 million people in the last 5 years.
We should have been there. We should have been in the Congo. We should have been in places where we had these atrocities taking place. But we're not. And the one thing you'll find with me, Tom,
you know
is
why,
that
Mike?
An atrocity somewhere is an atrocity that we need to face wherever it's at. America is about freedom and liberty. And when you
Mike,
have...
Number one, you're not going to impose freedom and liberty on people. And number two, there's no way that we could become the world's policeman.
You're absolutely...
First of all, it's illegal.
Tom, I agree with you wholeheartedly. You cannot impose freedom and liberty on anyone. That is a decision that they have to make for themselves. But you also do not stand by while innocent people are murdered at the whims of a violent dictator. And that's apparently the position that you're advocating. And what I'm
the position that I'm advocating is that the world shouldn't stand... Mike, no, sorry. The position I'm advocating is that the world shouldn't stand by. We should get the United Nations involved in these things, as we should have in Iraq as well. Mike, thanks for your call. I always appreciate hearing from you. I truly do. This is Tom Hartman, where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison instead of right-wing think tanks in the RNC.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune in to tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. President Bush weighed in on Indonesia's struggle between democracy and Islamic fundamentalism Wednesday, saying during a three-hour visit that peace and economic growth in Asia depend on Indonesia's success as a democratic state. Mr. Bush's stopover was restricted for security reasons to Bali, and he traveled less than a mile from where Air Force One landed. Bush met with Muslim moderates who were sharply critical of his policies towards the Middle East and Iraq. The commander of U.S. ground forces in Iraq is reporting an increase in attacks on American troops. Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez also says groups linked to Al-Qaeda may be responsible for some recent bombings in Iraq, although no known members of the terrorist network have been caught in the country. Sanchez told reporters in Baghdad on Wednesday that U.S. troops have come under attack as many as 35 times a day in the past 3 weeks, with an average of 20 to 25 attacks each day. He also said he expects the strikes to become more aggressive, radical, and organized as coalition forces continue to search for deposed leader Saddam Hussein. Democrat Wesley Clark said Wednesday he would repeal President Bush's tax cuts for wealthier Americans if he wins next November. The retired Army general said in a speech at the University of New Hampshire's Manchester campus, "When you are in a hole, stop digging. This country is in a deep hole, and I have a plan to get us out." Clark said he would require people earning more than $200,000 a year to pay more taxes than they would under Bush, but would not rescind any tax cuts going to middle-class taxpayers, and the child tax credit would be preserved for parents of any income. The FBI is investigating a letter containing the deadly poison ricin, which was found last week in an airport post office in Greenville, South Carolina. No one was harmed by exposure to the poison, but the airmail office in the cargo area of the airport was closed as a precautionary measure. Officials said they viewed the incident as a case of criminal extortion and terrorism was not suspected. More after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
Police in Snyder County, Pennsylvania, are on the lookout for a cat burglar who is literally stealing cats. They say the cat snatcher took 7 felines from a shelter in Monroe Township early Saturday morning. Authorities are hoping someone will call in with information so the burglar can be treated as per the law. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
a... Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nighty?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Okay, America, back off. Back off from the table, that is. If you needed a clue that too many of us are packing in too many groceries at each meal, that some of us need to learn to say no to that fourth package of ding-dongs, and that America has developed a national poundage problem of Goliath proportions, here it is. Coffin makers are finding that an alarming number of us no longer can be squeezed into the standard-sized burying box. So they're doing a booming business in double-wides and triple-wides. Today, 20% of our population is not merely chubby, big-boned, or even fat, but officially designated as obese, a more than 50% jump in obesity just since 1991. Having lived large, these folks are also dying large, and this literally is reshaping the funeral industry. The Goliath Casket Company in Indiana, for example, has gone from selling one triple-wide a year to selling 4 or 5 a month. These babies not only have extra space, but also extra bracing and reinforced handles to ensure what is euphemistically called the integrity of a coffin that has to hold 300, 400, 500, or even more pounds. But the coffin is only the start of the industry supersizing. Hearse manufacturers are having to widen their vehicles, including making bigger rear doors. Grave vaults have to be wider, too, which means the front-end scoops on grave digging equipment have to be broadened. Crematoriums are having to provide special training to their staffs for handling larger corpses. And cemeteries themselves are having to reconfigure their plots in order to squeeze in fewer but larger bodies, often doubling the standard width of a burial plot. This is Jim Hightower saying, even the comforting language of undertakers has had to adjust. It would be bad form to say to the bereaved that mom's too fat. Instead, the new line is, mom's not going to look comfortable in that casket.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Back with you, asking the question, is Dick Cheney the source of most of the administration's blunders, and will he be replaced next year by Rudy Giuliani or somebody else? I'm predicting absolutely somebody else, probably Rudy Giuliani, and it sure sounds and looks and feels like maybe he's at the core of many of this administration's biggest blunders, the biggest problems that they're having. Consider, for example, he was, just this last weekend, Iraq's interim president, Iyad Alawi, thanked the U.S. for liberating his country and then requested that the U.S. please bring back the Iraqi army. No one these days, not even Republicans, says it was a good idea to disband the Iraqi army after rolling into Baghdad. The Republicans even protested when it was originally proposed. But Dick Cheney was responsible for the idea of disbanding the Iraqi army, and in just a pen stroke, hundreds of soldiers, hundreds of thousands of soldiers, became unemployed and removed from our control. Extraordinary, huh? Dick Cheney is also at the center of Intimigate, the scandal around the outing of the CIA agent. For example, he tells Tim Russert, on the one hand, he doesn't have a clue who Joe Wilson is.
All in all, it'll be about 10 days, 12 countries.
Oops, sorry, here we go.
No, I don't know Joe Wilson. I've never met Joe Wilson.
Yeah, but Joe Wilson, on the other hand, says,
While we've never met, he certainly knows who I am, or should know who I am, unless his memory is flawed or faulty.
Yeah, so who is right? Well, Chuck Hagel is actually pointing the finger, this in an article in Salon.com, at Dick Cheney and Scooter Libby as the ones, Cheney's assistant, Scooter Libby, as the ones who outed Valerie Plame. Could it be that Dick Cheney is the one who may have, to quote George Bush Sr., committed treason, that he might be the one that the elder Bush would call a traitor of the worst kind? Could it be? Well, according to Chuck Hagel, it may be. Now, keep in mind, Chuck Hagel is trying to position himself to run for president as a Republican next time around. He's trying to position himself as the moderate Republican alternative. He will gently disagree with this administration. And it's interesting to see. This, keep in mind Hegel's biography. I mean, this is a guy that gets what he wants. He worked for George Bush Sr. Good Republican credentials. And then moved to Nebraska to take over as CEO of a voting machine company. Got the voting machines installed all across Nebraska of his companies. Resigned as president of the voting machine company to run for the United States Senate against the Democratic governor, who was very popular. Hegel went up against popular and well-known Republicans in the primaries and won absolute surprise victories. Ran up and then went up against the Democratic governor in the general election and was elected to the United States Senate 8 years ago in what the Washington Post called the most surprising election upset of the entire election. And now his Democratic opponent, Charlie Matulka, is claiming that the voting machines are suspect. But the Republicans, right after Hegel was elected, passed a law saying that the state could not audit the voting machines. They couldn't go back and do a recount. It's illegal now in Nebraska. Strange stuff. So anyhow, whenever I hear about Chuck Hegel, he's pointing the finger at Cheney and Scooter Libby. It makes me a little wary because his agenda is pretty clear to me. And so, you know, who knows? Maybe he knows something. Or maybe he's just putting himself in play, as it were. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you'd like to call the program today. If you have thoughts, questions, concerns, arguments, criticisms, or whatever. Pam in Massachusetts is on the line. Pam, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Thanks for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Actually, I was telling your screener that I'm a conservative Republican. And I...
Good on you.
I'm aggrieved by what's happening in the Bush administration with the deficits and such. And just for the record, there are actually out there conservatives and Republicans who are not evil people and only speak in bumper stickers.
Yeah, I know that, Pam. And in fact, I'll tell you a little secret here. In 1964, when I was 13 years old, I went door to door in November of 64 asking people to vote for Barry Goldwater because in my heart I knew he was right. And I really did. And I was a true believer. My father is still a loyal Republican. And, I've seen it from both sides. I've 3 years later, I was involved in anti-war demonstrations. So by that time I had left the Republican Party, as it were. But, I've seen it both. And I know that there are a lot of honorable conservative Republicans out there. As I said, my father's one of them. So I honor that lineage. In fact, I sent a piece to Common Dreams today. We'll see if they publish it about Republicans, please take back your party. Pardon my interrupting you.
Oh no, that's quite all right. I'd very much like to take back our party, and there's a great deal of things that bother me about this administration. I'll tell you though, in my opinion, the Democrats are still going to have to come up with somebody conservatives can actually not fear. You can't expect us to jump on the anybody but Bush bandwagon.
Sure.
And I do hope that there comes up with I see some reasonably good candidates on the Democratic side. I wouldn't want to try to tell Democrats how to pick their candidates, so I won't. But I'm hoping sincerely that they reach out also to reasonable and moderate people. I mean, just because you're conservative doesn't mean you're my God's better than yours or want to go back to the era of robber baronism. I mean, Some of us actually, even though it's not considered a terribly conservative position, actually think that for programs like Head Start are a good idea. They're a good idea to save money by investing in a child now. It's much cheaper to educate them and to teach them and then to deal with consequences of behavior when they get older.
Right, and if the $50,000 a year for a prison is a whole lot more expensive than $3,000 a year for Head Start. Pam, you're starting to sound like a liberal. Here in my studio, we had a guest on, one of the rare, real, live in-person guests, Michael. I'm drawing a blank on his last name right at the moment, but he was the guy who drove George Bush Sr. from town to town in Iowa and New Hampshire and wherever else they went during the early primaries when George Bush Sr. was running against Ronald Reagan in what was that, 80 or 82, whichever year that primary was.
80.
And 80, yeah. And he was a good friend of George Bush Sr. and a loyal Republican, as you would guess. I mean, you know, the guy who was, you know, not running the campaign, but one of the senior operatives in that campaign. And he came on this program, complete with his last name. It's not, I'm trying to conceal his identity. I just can't remember it. It's been 6 months. And he came on here and he said that he is going to be working for and voting for Howard Dean if he can get in as the Democratic nominee, because in his opinion, Howard Dean embodies the values of the Rockefeller wing of the Republican Party.
Oh, yes. You're in Vermont. We also can, you know, it's not that far in a country over here. We see what goes on in Vermont. We're aware of the who Dean is, and without Dean diving,
sure, yeah.
You know,
he's not a left wing wacko.
No.
He's a very conservative guy. He's a very rational guy. Let's say.
Right.
Okay.
So, anyway, I wanted to try to be a. Thank you for taking my call, and I wanted to assure your listeners that we're not all crazy.
Great. Thank you, Pam. Right. I know it. I think most of my listeners know it, too, and I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And Joe in Spring Hill, Illinois, is on the line. Joe, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Actually, Springfield.
Springfield. Okay. Great.
You asked a question about Dick Cheney being the cause of most of the failures
in
the administration. And, you know, it's actually, I would have to say, it's the entire administration, because what Bush did is he recreated the administration from pretty much from guys from the 70s, Nixon era, people who were part of the, Bridge for a New American Century organization. And so he created this relic of an administration that was really designed for the situation back during Vietnam. And he managed to recreate all the situations that were necessary to put himself in this position. And that's why it's failing, because it's an archaic system and it's not the right system for America.
I mean, well, I see it as a hodgepodge, Joe. I see him pandering on the one hand to the extreme end of the Christian spectrum, people who most Christians are uncomfortable with, like Falwell and Robertson. You know, Robertson saying we need to put a nuclear bomb in the State Department.
Definitely.
I mean, this is not my recollection of Christianity at all, or my understanding of it. And so you got that coalition. Then you got the corporations who just basically want to make money, and they've bought their way into this thing. And in particular, the two major industries that are overrepresented in this administration are finance and banking, who are just lusting, just drooling to get their hands on Social Security. And they are now the largest funders of the Republican Party. Interesting piece about that in yesterday's Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, that really boggles my mind, because the deficit is not good in the long run for anybody, including corporations, because all it's going to do is bring up the interest rates, which means they'll be unable to make investments in new industries in the future.
Yeah, if you're a large enough corporation, you can immunize yourself from that. You just don't operate on a lot of debt. You know, Microsoft, for example, is sitting on billions of dollars of cash. United Airlines is sitting on billions of dollars of cash. Some of the very largest corporations don't operate on a debt basis. Joe, thank you for the call. I appreciate your getting on the air here with us. This is Tom Hartman on the True People's Radio, the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
popcorn enthusiast. Popcorn, the most provocative of all the snack foods. The silky smooth texture, the rich buttery ecstasy.
Ow! The unpopped kernels!
Don't let toothaches interfere with your life. When you can't get to the dentist, get Maximum Strength Ambisol. It contains the same strong pain relief medicine your dentist uses, so it works faster than you can say,
ah.
Maximum Strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone. Use as directed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
Doug Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Boil me in oil, cast me into hell. I'd never vote for Dan Quayle. More scary than brainy. I did not vote for Dick Cheney. Got a cat named Fluffy. I keep a dog named Reagan. Now who the hell is Robert Kagan?
Welcome to the vast radical middle conspiracy. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. And Gizmo in Virginia is on the line here today. Gizmo, thank you for waiting over that long break, and I'm sorry I missed you in the rotation there. I was,
okay,
I don't know.
No problem. Hey, listen, first I want to thank you for, I heard that you used one of my calls in your promo, and I heard me talking. I go, oh, that guy sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I wanted to say, that conservative that called you last hour really got my ruffled my feathers about we should be in all these different countries making sure that they have a democratic government, and we should be losing our troops' lives for wars we shouldn't be involved in. I'm yeah. thinking maybe the first question to these conservatives that think that we should be over there getting rid of ruthless dictators is, are you personally willing to be killed to give these people democracy? You know, and not send 18 and 19-year-olds to do that fighting while you're here yelling patriotic slogans, you know? And he just got my dander up, and so.
Well, it displays a breathtaking ignorance of world history. Sorry, yeah, Disney, are you still there?
Yeah, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's fine. You know, I was saying it displays a breathtaking ignorance of world history. It's the assumption that somehow, number one, we have the right to simply walk into any country and say, we have decided what you're doing is wrong. I mean, even Hitler in World War II, it took a consensus. It took a, yes, we went in way too late, in my opinion. But nonetheless, when Hitler started invading other countries, it became really conspicuous what was going on. But and frankly, the intelligence was available here in the United States that Hitler was exterminating the Jews in Germany. So that maybe that's a bad example. We, as I said, we really should have gone in there earlier.
Well, troops were marching. People were dying. There were atrocities being committed. I think maybe we should have gone into that war a lot sooner. So here, what we're talking about now is a form of government that we decided we don't like. We villainized the dictator, whether he's a villain or not, and then we go in and say, here, now you're going to love democracy. And then we kill our boys and girls trying to give it to them, and all these conservatives are over here yelling patriotic slogans. It makes me sick.
And this is not a conservative value. I mean, it was conservative Republicans who were opposed to FDR going into World War II, and it was the main reason why he basically couldn't get into World War II until Pearl Harbor. Rex Stout, the author of the Nero Wolfe books, compiled a whole book called The Illustrious Dunderheads of speeches by Republicans opposing our intervention in World War II.
Yeah. Hey, I listen to you all the time, Tom. I don't call very much, but I listen to you probably every day. And I tried to get into your chat room once, but I was summarily ignored.
Oh, yeah?
I said, hi, everybody. This is Gizmo from Michael Malloy. And I just got... didn't get ignored. They were probably busy discussing other things. I love your show. Keep up the good work. And I hope to talk to you more, Tom.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. Yeah, drop in more often, and I appreciate the call. I always do, and thank you for giving us that great soundbite that we were able to use in the promos.
Bye-bye.
A great call. Thanks, Gizmo. Is Dick Cheney the source of most of this administration's blunders, and will he be replaced in 2004 by Rudy Giuliani? Dick Cheney wanted to keep Homeland Security within the White House. He didn't want it to be a cabinet department and under congressional scrutiny, and he wanted to keep the department in limbo. In fact, he kept the Homeland Security Department in limbo for 8 months over essentially a turf war that was going on. And everybody in Washington knows this. Has he become a liability to this administration? Is he going to be replaced in 2004 by Giuliani or somebody else? Interesting question. Exposing the con and conservative. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
might be living through one of the largest extinction events in Earth history, but it's not making many waves. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The age of dinosaurs ended 65 million years ago when a giant meteorite crashed into the Earth at the end of the Cretaceous period. Well over half of all species met their doom in the cataclysm. Ann Weil is a paleontologist at Duke University. Weil studies how animal species recovered after the Cretaceous mass extinction. She says large-scale losses of species don't always occur in such spectacular ways.
I think that, yes, there is a preconception that a mass extinction has to happen catastrophically and very suddenly. And in fact, that's not the case.
Weil says the Earth might be going through a mass extinction event right now. Many scientists claim we're losing plant and animal species at a rate unseen since the end of the dinosaur age.
And because the reconstructions of the end Cretaceous extinction are so dramatic, with the asteroid impact and giant tsunamis and so forth and so on, many people don't realize that there is a catastrophe going on right now. But you are going to live the best day of your life in the middle of a mass extinction event, and you're probably not going to notice.
Some scientists estimate that today's extinction rate is 1,000 times greater than normal, although such numbers are debatable. But Weil says something is happening, and her research shows that some species are at a clear disadvantage in these events. She says large plants and animals with small geographic ranges and those most dependent on certain ecosystems are most at risk. Animals that are more adaptable and that live across broad areas and conditions will fare much better. Those include coyotes, cockroaches, and humans. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Truth Zone with Tom Hartman. News without conflicts of global corporate interest. Is Dick Cheney the source of most of this administration's biggest blunders? Consider the Energy Task Force. The legacy of this is incredible. I mean, he's being sued. Dick Cheney is being sued by the guy, the organization, Judicial Watch, Larry Klayman, whose lawsuit led to Bill Clinton getting outed with the whole Monica thing. You know, this is extreme conservative who I believe now is actually running for office as a Republican someplace. He's suing Dick Cheney because, hey, you know, if you're an employee of We the People, if you're the Vice President of the United States and you are one of our elected representatives, and you sit down with a group of advisors and debate what the energy policy of the United States should be, at the very least, we have the right to know who you met with. Ideally, we would like to have the right to know what you said. Now, of course, you can reasonably and rationally argue, Mr. Cheney, that some of the things that you discussed should be classified because if they were released to the public, it would harm the national security of the United States. And if you want to make that argument, make it in a court of law, let a judge with a security clearance look over the materials and decide. That's how it's normally done. Cheney will not have that. No. He's making the argument that essentially he doesn't have to hand the stuff over. That we, the people, we have no right to know what he was doing. We have no right to ask a judge or an agency, a bipartisan agency, with a security clearance inside the government to determine if or what records need to be released to us or could be released to us so that we can know whether he's doing his job appropriately. He's administering our commons, our nation, all that stuff, which is we the people. He's in charge of, to a large extent. And he's meeting and he's making a decision on our national energy policy. This is at the core of the future of America. Should we encourage conservation and reduce our dependency on Middle East oil? Or should we encourage production and increase our dependency on Middle East oil? And he chose the latter. Why? We ask. We're told, you have no right to know. Well, what was the thought process that went into it? And we're told, you have no right to know. I mean, here is Dick Cheney on the record about this.
What we've not given them, and where the dispute lies, is they've demanded of me that I give a listing of everybody I meet with, of everything that was discussed, any advice that was received, the notes and minutes of those meetings.
How dare they? How dare, although, you know, it does routinely happen, but how dare they?
What's really at stake here is the ability of the president and the vice president to solicit advice from anybody they want, in confidence, get...
Wait a second. This wasn't anybody they want. This...
good, solid, unvarnished advice without having to make it available to a member of Congress. The GAO does not have the authority to get into that particular arena.
No, but Congress does. And the courts do. And, well, actually, I would say even the Government Accounting Office does. And that was who originally sued him. And then Judicial Watch got into the act. It's this we're seeing the return of Rex Imperius, of the imperial presidency, and the imperial vice presidency. You know, the vice president is actually not even a part of the executive branch of government. He is a member of the legislative branch of government. He is the president of the Senate. He's simply second in line for succession, or first in line. You know, the line begins with him. He's blundered international diplomacy. Consider his Middle East tour before Iraq, the only diplomatic initiative that he took when he was in office. This is it. And he went to court the moderate leaders of Arab states to form a coalition against Iraq. Right here, here's a clip just before he left.
All in all, it'll be about 10 days, 12 countries, so it should be a good trip.
Yeah, well, it wasn't. It didn't work out that way, much to the administration's chagrin. He tried in his own style with heavy-handed, bullying diplomacy, basically saying, you are going to do this, you're going to do it this way, because I told you to, because I'm the Vice President of the United States. And the Arabs were looking at him going, who are you? Say what? We need to do what? I don't think so. And, you know, it's just, come on, Mr. Cheney, they were saying. It did not look good. It did not look good. It resulted in moderates in the Arab world. His meeting, these 12 nations in 10 days, his whirlwind trip of the Middle East before the Iraq War, where I think he went around and said to them, you know, we're going to get this guy. And you can pick which side you're going to be on. And at that point, they said, this guy's nuts. We're going to be on a different, you know, we're not going to be on one of those sides. Or they made an even stranger decision. Many of the moderates in the Middle East reconciled with Saddam Hussein for the first time in more than 10 years. And they held a summit of the Arab League in Beirut. It was a coming together of the Arab world in reaction to Dick Cheney and his attempt at diplomacy. So they haven't let him out of the box since then. You know, they let him go off to Wyoming, where for every dollar, tax dollar that goes to Washington, they get back $8.70. They let him go off to Wyoming, but they're not letting him go off anywhere else. He was the major voice behind early opposition to securities law reform, what became the Sarbanes-Oxley bill. This is the bill that says that if you are in business and you commit a crime, we're going to nail you. It would make sense that he opposed it because he's being investigated right now by the Securities and Exchange Administration, the SEC Commission, for committing crimes as CEO of Halliburton. This is the guy who made an ad for Arthur Andersen saying that he appreciated their creative accounting. It did not look good, ultimately. Him and Larry Lindsay arguing against Sarbanes-Oxley. It did not look good for an administration that had fronted its CEO president to shirk a bill to prevent accounting scandals. So they put the cork in him. But then, you know, again, here we are at the end of 2001, at the end of 2000, Bush and Cheney take over, having been installed by the Supreme Court. And Gary Hart and Warren Rudman. Gary Hart, I would say, moderate Democrat, and Warren Rudman, a moderate to conservative Republican, chaired a commission, the Hart-Rudman Commission. And they studied terrorism for several years. These guys put a lot of work into it. These are two men who take very seriously the responsibility of government. Senator Warren Rudman and former Senator Gary Hart. I guess it's now former Senator Rudman. And they created a document called the Roadmap for National Security, Imperative for Change. And January 31st, 2001, and they submitted this to the Bush administration, and you've probably seen both of them on TV since then. And Warren Rudman, bless him, you know, there's a good Republican, is out there saying the Bush administration ignored our findings. They predicted that there would be a major terrorist attack in the United States within the year, just as there was. And the Bush administration decided to do nothing. Now, who was it in the Bush administration who said that they should ignore the Hart-Rudman Commission findings and instead put their energy on other things like, you know, the Clear Skies Initiative and tax cuts? And guess who? Dick Cheney. He led the charge to ignore it. He blocked Senate hearings on the report that were scheduled for May 7th, 2001. He announced a brand new commission that was going to be headed up by who? Dick Cheney himself. Seriously, I'm not making this up. That commission never met before 9/11. Never happened. He said, these guys, what do they know? Has Dick Cheney become an embarrassment to this administration? The head of an Iraqi oil agency, this from the New York Times yesterday, the head of an Iraqi oil agency said yesterday that his group had been trucking in gasoline and other fuel to Iraq for considerably less money than Halliburton, which has so far received $700 million from the Army Corps of Engineers to stave off shortages there. Separately, a report earlier this month by the Congressional Research Service, a nonpartisan public policy research firm, warned that the Corps of Engineers might be paying too much to import fuel. Of course, you heard our clip yesterday of Henry Waxman about this, that Dick Cheney's company has been playing games with us, trying to get everything that they can so that they can continue paying old Dick his stipends. Remarkable. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Some other interesting things in the news today. More uninsured people are working at large companies. This is really fascinating. The Associated Press published this study. It's made its way through most of the newspapers now. 32%, actually I saw it in the Wall Street Journal as well, 32% of all uninsured workers in 2001 were employed by large companies. Now in 1987, what is that, 16 years ago, a quarter of the people who worked for large companies were uninsured. 75%, three-quarters of all the people who worked for the biggest employers in America. Large company is a company that hires employs more than 500 people. 75% of them had insurance, health insurance, and 25% of them did not. Today, only 57% have insurance. I'm sorry, it would be 69% have insurance, and 32% do not. With the share of uninsured workers by firm size, if you look at all the uninsured workers, 25% of them in 1987 were with large companies. Now it's 32% of the uninsured workers are working for large companies, 12% are working for medium-sized company, 57% working for small companies. Small companies have actually picked up a lot of the slack. It used to be that over 60% of uninsured people work for small companies. Now it's only 57%. So they're starting to add benefits. Large companies are starting to shed benefits. Why? Because they've been going after the unions with success. The large companies have been able to ship their jobs overseas. They've been able to terrorize the unions. The unions are the only thing right now. I'm telling you, this they're the only thing that stand between these so-called conservatives taking over the system and saying, sorry, health insurance, what's that? Minimum wage? Just the entire thing being driven down. Absolutely unregulated, unconstrained capitalism leads to a Dickensian world, a world like you had in the era of Charles Dickens, when Scrooge could do anything he wanted with his employees. And that's, it's how it gets acted out. It's how it gets played out. It's a neo-feudalism, neo-slavery. Boy, it's snowing outside right now. It's snowing rather heavily. What a beautiful afternoon. Veterans now are having a terrible problem with this administration. And, I want to pull this out to a larger picture. The point of all this is that here's the question that you want to ask somebody who considers themselves a conservative in the mold of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and these guys. Or the guy we had on a couple days ago from the Heritage Foundation, where they say, oh, no, we need to have absolutely unconstrained capitalism, free enterprise. Let the corporations do whatever they want. We need an absolutely free market. Get government out of it. Let the churches take care of poor and hungry people. That's their job. And you ask them just a very simple question. And here's the question. I have seen the liberal vision for America work in other countries. In Norway, everybody is insured. In Sweden, everybody's insured. In Germany, everybody's insured. In France, everybody's insured. In England, everybody's insured. In Switzerland, everybody's insured. In Italy, everybody's insured. I have seen this work in many countries. Everybody has health insurance. Everybody's protected by minimum wage laws. They have strong labor unions that are protected by the government. They have required paid vacations of 2-3, in the case of France, I believe it's 3 weeks, and typically people get 4 per year. And they've survived. Not only have they survived all these other nations, Australia, Canada, not only have they survived, they're doing very well, thank you. In fact, they have better infant mortality than the United States. They have better overall health than the United States. They have a lower suicide rate than the United States. They have, in many cases, we're talking Western European nations, they have half the number of people per capita in prison. Some of them are much less than half In Holland, it's like a quarter. I don't remember the exact number. 22% sticks to my head. What country on the world would you point to me and say, that's how it should be run by the conservatives? Because I don't see any country in the world where the conservative vision is actually being successful. It has never happened. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Nothing complements a ball game like a bag of roasted peanuts. I like to eat them 3-4 at a time, and I'm talking the jumbo ones, lightly salted and fresh from the shell.
Ah, peanuts, baseball, and the crack of my tooth!
Don't let toothaches interfere with your life. When you can't get to the dentist, get Maximum Strength Ambisol. It contains the same strong pain relief medicine your dentist uses, so it works faster than you can say, ah. Maximum Strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone. Use as directed.
Toyota owners, get over to your Toyota dealer and get this feeling. The feeling of winning a $10,000 American Express branded gift card. Toyota's giving away 12 of them, plus 1,000 more worth $100 each. Just bring your Toyota into your participating Toyota dealer for service and enter. You'll get the very best service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter for your chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends October 31st. Void where prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents who are valid licensed drivers and 18 or older. Void in Hawaii. Official rules available at toyota.com/owners.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Tom Hartman Show.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board. The doorbell rang, and I answered the door just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush. What a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, "I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary." How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, "Well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect."
For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Yeah.
bringing you uncommon sense. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to Talk Radio for the Rest of Us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Tricia in our chat room asks a question. And let's see, where to go? I lost it. Rats! Oh, she says, why? Neocons don't campaign in apartment complexes. Any ideas on why? One person says they don't want poor people to get upset and attack them. Well, maybe that's one answer. Another person says they don't want their tenants to start complaining to them about the cockroaches. Yes, they are the landlords. Well, it's... I don't know. It's this stereotyping. Good joke, Tricia. Well done. Bill O'Reilly, a couple of days ago, says, no one has been able to prove that Fox News is conservative. But back on February 11th of this year, he said, I say Fox leans a little right. Interesting. Despite record federal deficits and state fiscal crises, this is the daily outrage from the Center for American Progress. Despite record federal deficits and state fiscal crises squeezing domestic priorities, the Bush administration is not only opposing all efforts to reduce tax cuts for the wealthy to pay for the $87 billion Iraqi spending bill. Instead, the administration announced today, this being yesterday, it will be pushing for a whole new round of tax cuts. Yes, the solution to all problems, friends, tax cuts. Of course, they're not really tax cuts. They're really... we borrow money and we give it to you. But we're really borrowing it from you because we're you. That is to say, we're the government, and so if we do anything, we do it in your name. And if we run up any debt, you have to pay it off. So we're going to run up a huge debt and get this money. We're going to borrow it from China, actually. We've already borrowed $1.7 trillion from them. We're going to borrow some more from them and hope that they don't get upset with us and dump our bonds, because that would throw us into a depression that would make the Great Depression look like a happy, you know, like a party. We're going to borrow it from China with, you know, because we give them a lot of our money, so they've got a lot of cash. And then we're going to take that money that we borrowed from China, and we're going to give it to you, and we're going to tell you that we're cutting your taxes. And we're going to hope you don't notice that someday you're going to have to pay that money back. Out of your taxes, yes, indeed. Not only that, you're going to have to pay the interest on it, too. Things can change in America. They can change quickly. They can change in November of 2004. Be sure you're registered to vote. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our program produced by Louise Hartman and Joe McPherson. Engineered today by Steph Stryker and Shar Jones. Thanks for joining us. See you again tomorrow.
It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real, or it's real. But it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Animal?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York.
The commander of U.S. ground forces in Iraq is reporting an increase in attacks on American troops. Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez also says groups linked to al-Qaeda may be responsible for some recent bombings in Iraq, although no known members of the terrorist network have been caught in the country. Sanchez told reporters in Baghdad on Wednesday that U.S. troops have come under attack as many as 35 times a day in the past 3 weeks, with an average of 20 to 25 attacks each day. He also said he expects the strikes to become more aggressive, radical, and organized as coalition forces continue to search for deposed leader Saddam Hussein. Democrat Wesley Clark said Wednesday he would repeal President Bush's tax cuts for wealthier Americans if he wins next November. The retired Army general said in a speech at the University